So, yeah, Trina Robbins, go ahead and tell us about Hawaii High and how you got involved in
it. Well, as you know, I've been a comic writer and artist. And, Hawaii High, what was the date of that?
Oh, goodness.
90?
It's the 80s. Definitely the 80s. I want to say 83, 84.
Okay, even earlier than I remember.
Yeah.
Well, there was nothing for girls in comics either. I mean, there was nothing in TV entertainment for girls. There was nothing, period, for girls.
Yeah.
And their excuse for not, for instance, for not marketing TV shows for girls, it was bizarre. They would say, the girls on Saturday morning, they're all out on the mall shopping for cosmetics. Mm-hmm. I mean, and of course it was guys who said this, you know.
Of course.
Their excuse in comics was girls don't read comics. Of course, it had never occurred to any of them that if you give girls comics they like to read, girls will read comics. But all the comics at that point were violent superhero comics in which, you know, the protagonists were guys beating up other guys, and if girls were there, they were the girlfriend or they were a sex object. So yeah, it was easy for them to say girls don't read comics because girls didn't want to read those comics.
Yeah, it's very similar in the video game industry.
Of course it is.
Yeah, word for word. Mm-hmm. It's the same stuff we would hear for sure.
So, you know, I never take no for an answer. And I had this idea that I'd like to do a girls comic with girl heroines. And it'd be an adventure, not a romance or anything, you know, a real adventure. And because I do love Hawaii, my partner and I go to Hawaii often. We love it. We usually go about once a year. I thought, how about an adventure set in Hawaii? And I could get a little bit of mysticism in there, you know, the goddess and everything. And of course, it was soundly rejected because girls don't read comics.
So at this time, Hawaii High was a comic book. It wasn't a video game.
Well, it was a proposal for a comic book.
Okay. Interesting.
So, I was complaining to my friend, Ken Stacy, who is also a comic book artist, and a Canadian, and very sympathetic. I was complaining to him, and I told him about the comic I wanted to do, and he said, that's like something that the people I'm working for now might be interested in. And I was, ha, you know, no way. Nobody likes this. It's for girls. But I wrote a proposal and I sent it to them and they were very interested. And that was Sanctuary Woods in Victoria.
Sanctuary Woods, mm-hmm. Yeah, all right.
Yeah. And my friend Ken, he lived in Victoria and he was doing something for them. Victor Vector, it was called. So after that, it was really pretty simple. I went there first to get the hang of what to do because I'd never done anything like that before. I did the art, I wrote the script. They wanted to add stuff, and I just, because I didn't know anything, I said, go ahead. And what they added were all those weird, she has to get through here and
mini games,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah, but I personally found them impossible.
Yeah.
Maybe kids have more patience than I do.
It could be. It might have been something to do with the, I don't know. This is kind of just an offshoot, but when I was doing research for this, I had to play the game, and God only knows, my programmer is a saint. He managed to replicate the computer that ran the game.
That's
originally.
Amazing, because I can't play it on my computer. I
mean. Yeah, no, it's completely, he did some kind of, frankly, what I can only consider is black magic, because he's an amazing, amazing guy. But we got to play the game and see all the mini games and stuff. Some of them were a little challenging. There was a lot of, I thought it was really interesting. I don't know if you were a part of this or anything, but there seemed to be a lot about the history of Hawaii. It seemed,
oh, I did that.
Yeah, it was almost like an educational kind of angle to it.
Yes. I like to tell people things and give them facts that they might not know.
Yeah.
My comics do that too an awful lot. So that was really that, and I guess they flew me out again once the whole thing was put together. They were very nice. They were very supportive. Everything went really well, except, of course, I think there was nobody carried it. They didn't know what to do. In those days, if there was anything at all for girls, it was Barbie, and it was pink.
Yeah, yeah.
The entire girls section of the video games were
yes.
pink.
just shortly after, I think Barbie designer or something like that came out, and that was what really kicked things off with the Girls Brigadian games, and it was the brand, I think, that really helped it get going. But then unfortunately, since that was what really worked, everybody started making only those types of games from there on out. So that's really interesting. So, and so you didn't hear about, like, how did it go over? I mean...
Well, I know that it didn't sell. I mean, it got great reviews, by the way, and Wired and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Got really good reviews. But I think that the stores just didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that for the most part, girls couldn't find it. It really is the same thing that happened with comics distribution. God knows there wasn't much anyway for girls, but the few comics that were out there for girls, including comics that I had done, the stores just didn't want to carry it, or they would buy like maybe two, and once they had sold out of those two, they would go, phew, got rid of that, and they would not reorder.
That's a bummer. So your experience, I mean, I guess I could say that your experience with the video game industry and the comic industry are pretty similar. Did you ever think about going back to video games at all, or was you just one and done?
Well, actually, if somebody said, would you like to design a video game, I'd love to. Sure, but no one has said.
All right, well, we'll put it out there. You know, you might get some phone calls. Who knows? Yeah, that's really interesting. So tell us a little bit more about, I mean, this is crazy. I happened to find you because it was a misprint of your name.
I know, they called me Trina Robinson, I know.
Yeah, it was crazy. And from then on, everybody who had ever mentioned Hawaii High, Mystery of the Tiki, miscredited your name, so of course nobody knew who was behind this game.
So you were clever enough, because you come across my name, Trina Robbins, you were clever enough to decide that in all probability, Trina Robinson and Trina Robbins were one and the same.
I feel like you're giving me a little too much credit because, I'm mostly a video game fanatic. I don't do much in the comic book sort of circle, but I Googled it, and you're like, did they say, you know how Google does, did you mean one of those things, Trina Roberts?
Mm, yes.
And so
Robbins, not Roberts.
Yeah, that's right. And so that's how it came up. And the more research I did, this just like blew my mind because, you know, I thought it was a one-shot. They'd had some artist that they happened to miscredit. And then I found out how influential you were. I mean, you're a huge part of the comic. I mean, I got very nervous going up. The more research I did, I said, good Lord, who have I gotten to interview with me? So please tell us all about, you know, your background with the comic book industry.
I think, by the way, you know, what you said about it sounds an awful lot like the video game industry. They were all like that. There's less now. It's much better than it was. It's not perfect by any means, but
of course
they were all like that. What I said about, you know, TV, Saturday morning cartoons and movies too. I mean, it was very rare that in those days that you had female oriented movies, and that includes for kids. Now, I can't remember the name of the woman who produced The Secret Garden. Did you ever see that?
Was that a book? Wasn't that a book?
It was a book that was adapted into a movie. It's been adapted twice. The first time, I think, with Shirley Temple. More recently, I think, in the 80s or maybe the early 90s. Well, I think of what she said because it's so perfect. When she took it to the studios, they said, only girls will watch this. And she said, so? There's a lot of them.
Yeah, it is pretty, moment.
You know, and I really wonder if it isn't guys just not wanting to give up their club and let girls in.
I think that's exactly what it is. I think you've hit the nail right on the head there.
But they come up with these bizarre excuses.
Well, whatever they can think of. Really, as long as they can convince themselves, you know, they don't really need to convince anybody else.
Shortly after I did that, I stayed with, I was in Seattle for something.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a very short, I was on a panel, it was a conference, I guess, on women and video games, and girls and video games.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, do tell.
Yeah. It was at, not Apple, not Mac.
Microsoft?
Yes, it was Microsoft in Seattle, yeah. And I stayed a little longer just to see Seattle. I stayed with the sister, my partner's sister. And she is married to a guy named John Socha. Is that a familiar name to you?
I think so.
He does stuff I'm so vague. I'm sorry. He does stuff with computers and video games, and he apparently is very successful and very important, but I have no idea what it is he does. But we were talking over dinner, and he pointed out that there were a couple of video games that girls really liked. And I said, well, why aren't they marketed so that girls will know? Why aren't they marketed to girls? And he said, oh, that's the kiss of death.
How so?
Because if they're marketed to girls, no one else will want them.
Well, yeah, I don't know what to tell you there. That sounds ridiculous. So you were on a panel with Will. Do you happen to remember anybody else who was on the panel? Or
I don't remember their names, but it was very interesting.
Yeah.
One of them was talking about in computer classes for kids how the boys just took over. Now this was the late 80s, middle 80s, something like that.
Sounds about right.
And the boys just took over from the girls, and the girls would just kind of shrink back and let them do it.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah, that I seem to recall. Well, in the book that you were referencing, Barbie versus Mortal Kombat, they did cite a lot of studies about how school children kind of interacted with computers. It had a little bit to do with literacy, you know, like guys were encouraged to use computers more than girls were,
But girls are more literate than boys. Everyone knows that. No, they are, really.
Oh, really?
More girls read books than boys read books. I mean, these are facts. I have a whole thing of percentages and facts and numbers.
Oh, really?
And more women buy books than men.
Well, I mean, considering how pushed out they are at video games, it wouldn't surprise me that a woman just says, you know, well, I'll just read a book then if you didn't want to use computers. That does make sense, actually. Yeah, okay. So back to the development of this game. Like, how was it working with the team? What was the process?
It was really very easy. I just did what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I mean, they reviewed each thing, but they okayed it. You know, my script, my art. I did get some help on the art because I don't know anything about animation.
Right.
And the guy who helped me, he also did the poster, was very nice and worked in my style.
Yeah, that's good.
Sanctuary Woods was great. I don't think they're in existence anymore.
No, I don't know what happened to them, but they're definitely not in existence anymore.
They were very nice. He raised St. Bernards.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I'm a dog person for sure. Yeah, so everyone was very cooperative with you. I mean, I imagine you were working with mostly men,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't have any negative attitudes towards the production of the game.
They were all men.
Wow, that's very
The only woman was the wife of the guy who owned Sanctuary Woods.
Okay. That's very interesting. So these guys, they were interested in making a game for girls, or were they more interested in making something? I mean, you were probably well-known by that time, I would imagine.
Well, as a comic person.
Yeah, yeah. So they wanted something with your name on it, or were they more like, we're going to try and target a new audience?
Well, you know, I really don't know if they wanted something with my name on it, but they liked my concept, and so they worked on it.
Okay.
I mean, the owner, I've forgotten his name now, very nice guy. I could get his name. I'm still friends with Ken, very good friends with Ken.
Yeah.
Ken would tell me his name. He liked the concept. He liked my idea.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Maybe they were trying for something different.
I mean,
it was
something different for sure. That's interesting. Yeah, I think if it's possible, I think I'd love to get a talk with your friend and see what his view on it is. That would be good. I'm trying to think of anything else that I could ask. This is a really important, you know, this is a story that no one's really heard before, so I don't want to miss any details.
Just getting my name right is good.
Yes, thank you. It's a start, you know.
Hi there. Sorry to interrupt. I happened to start through that. I'm actually a game writer.
So we're talking, and somebody happened to step in, and please introduce yourself.
My name's John Dombro.
Okay.
I work for BioWare.
Okay, and you write for the game.
The Mass Effect.
Mass Effect. Okay, no big deal.
I'm Trina Robbins. I write comics, actually, for the most part.
I thought it was... Obviously, you went through it. How long ago was...
It was the 80s.
Yeah, so that was certainly back at a time when this was a lot more difficult, I imagine.
Certainly.
You know, and I would say it probably helped lay the groundwork for some of where we've come to now, where we have, you know, a tremendously loyal audience of women who love playing our game, and now we're actually You know, like I said, our trailer we just put out featured a...
Well, things have changed enormously. In comics, too. In every way. You know, in Saturday, I was talking, comparing it to Saturday morning cartoons, how in those days, they only had cartoons with boy heroes. And they said, here was what they said. They said that studies had proved, they didn't say what studies. Studies had proved that girls will watch a Saturday morning cartoon with a boy hero, but boys won't watch a Saturday morning cartoon with a girl hero. And that was their excuse.
Which, yeah. Actually, his game, I'm sorry, his game has proven that, I mean, patently false. In the BioWare game Mass Effect, there's the shepherd and there's the female shepherd. They can, you can play as either a male or a female, if I'm correct. And as I understand it, the stats are that more people play as the female shepherd than the male shepherd. Is that correct?
I don't know what the stats are. I do know, though, with our new trailer for Andromeda, we've chosen to show the female protagonist.
Really? Oh, that's exciting.
I think we put that trailer out about a month ago or so around E3, because we've, you know, it's come that far now where that's now the featured character in the trailer is the female version of our character, of our protagonist. So, yeah, no, I just thought it was really interesting hearing the early history where you were fighting the tough battles back then.
Sorry. I wasn't really expecting this. This is very exciting, just having, you know, how far we've come, I guess.
Well, I mean, it continues, I think, to still be an issue in the industry.
Oh, absolutely.
Because we have a number of female writers on our staff at BioWare.
Yeah.
And we're really proud of that in the industry.
It's a recent thing. It's changed enormously. Both comics, video games, all of it has changed enormously, but it's recent.
Yeah, I'm it's... welcome change. You know, I think it's fantastic. So, I didn't mean to interrupt your interview.
No, this is an exciting development. Really, I'm so glad that you stepped in and appreciate it. Yeah.
I think a big influence in opening the field, all of those fields, comics, video games, all of it, is manga.
Really? That's interesting. So the Japanese comics, yeah, tell us about that a little bit.
In comics, I chalk the revolution, and it really is a revolution. I mean, if you go in there, you'll see so many women sitting behind tables selling their comics, and women just walking around buying those comics. I chalk that up to the beginning of the 21st century and the advent of Sailor Moon, which was the first.
Yes, absolutely. I love Sailor Moon. For the listeners at home, of course. I mean, everybody does.
But, I mean, it came to America, excuse me, and it was just gobbled up by girls who were so hungry for something that they could like, both the TV series and the comics. And it was quickly followed by all the other manga. And if you know shoujo manga, it's all girl stuff, and the girls love it.
Sorry, just a moment. Oh, sorry, not right now. Thanks, though. Please continue.
Well, that's basically when made the change, because when you could walk into Barnes & Noble and see teenage girls and adolescent girls sitting on the floor surrounded by manga and buying those manga, you could no longer say girls don't read comics.
Yeah. And I think that's the same, very true of video games.
Yes,
once you see more girls playing the video games, you can't really say that they don't play it anymore. So yeah, that's fantastic. Gosh, I'm so nervous. I don't really know what else to ask.
So Hawaii High, you were the writer?
I'm the artist.
And the artist. Mm-hmm. So back in the 80s, you had to be everything, right?
Yes.
It's interesting because writing in games didn't really take off till later, so for the 80s to have a writer on a game was a pretty big deal.
Yeah. How big was the team for Hawaii High? Do you remember?
Gosh. I really don't remember.
Probably not very big. Back then, everybody was...
I don't imagine so, yeah.
Writer. Yeah. So you were one of the original writers in the industry, really. Mm-hmm. Other than text adventures, there wasn't much writing going on back then.
No, it was very much a story, which I really liked. And I didn't play very many video games from that time, but I did think that it was kind of, it was an adventure game, I guess, what could be called an adventure game nowadays.
Well, that's what I wanted, something that was not Barbie, that was not pink, you know, that was not a romance or getting all dressed up, although there was a paper doll game in there where she gets dressed up for her adventure.
Yes, I remember that.
That's mine. They didn't make that one up. I made that one up.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, that's great. So actually, speaking of the writing, I mean, you wrote it kind of from beginning to end, but there was a little bit of like a choose your own kind of situation. Were you involved in that, or was that added by the team?
That was added by the team. That was the games that I found impossible personally.
All right, cool. And there you go. God, do you have any questions?
No, I'm just sorry. You know, to meet someone who's working as a writer in the industry in the 80s.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
we now have like 20 writers at BioWare, some large number.
Yes, yes. BioWare is a big team.
So it's great to meet someone who's there.
You guys have a booth at the con?
I'm here to talk with Dark Horse on a panel. Comics adaptations of games, actually. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
Comics and games, they do have a lot of meeting points, I guess we're finding out.
Yeah. I mean, they all do, and video, you know, TV, cartoons, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
They're all connected.
Yeah. I mean, the Marvel's kind of got their whole multimedia situation going on, so that's really, and, you know, targeted at women, too, which I think is really nice. Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead. We're about half an hour in, so I'll go ahead and wrap things up. I don't want to keep you guys. You want to enjoy the con. I've been here with Trina Robbins. Sorry, your name again?
John Dombra.
Dombra?
Yeah.
Okay. Trina Robbins, John Dombra, and Tess Young. And, thank you guys for listening in. I hope you learned something. And I'm going to end.